With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox Internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for.
Based on Cox analysis of Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
Tuesday afternoon, welcome back to the Axon Bulletin. It's myself, Declan, joined by Lawrence. Lawrence, we've got an hour. We like to talk about the Celtic in that hour. Even though it's an international break, there's still plenty to talk about with regards to Celtic, to the league, to injuries to our team. That's our tagline down the bottom. We're going to be coming back on Saturday, which begins a run of 13 games in 43 days, which sounds quite daunting, but it's going to play a huge part in, I think, deciding the rest of our season, Lawrence, especially the Champions League, which are right back into action against Leipzig next week.
Yeah, you know, it's going to depend who we've got fit, isn't it? You know, it's great to be getting back into action, but centre-halves, hopefully Cameron Carter-Vickers is back, and it's who pairs him, isn't it?
Hopefully Carol Starfelt's not too far away too.
Yeah, you know, he's a bit longer in recovery, but I think, you know, you're happy with Cameron Carter-Vickers or Starfelt or Jensen, aren't you? I think kind of either of the partnerships is decent.
Yeah. And I've saw, obviously, Moritz Jens jetting off to Mallorca. He's photographed with Paul the Tim, so hopefully he's well-rested wherever he was going in Mallorca to come back. Let's kick off with the Sky Sports deal. We saw this come out this morning. There's obviously a bit of to-ing and fro-ing between clubs. Aberdeen's chairman, I think, Dave Cormack, is getting involved in this chat, but we see what it is today. Lawrence, what's your take on it? If you've had a look at it, it's up to 60 Premiership games a season from 24-25. It also includes the Scottish Women's Premier League, We might have Natasha joining us later to talk about that. That is going to go and coincide with the BBC deal, which is already in place. It's a four-year extension to the current deal. So just briefly on those kind of points, Lawrence, what was your take on this new Sky Sports deal?
It's hardly a brave new world, is it? You know, with COVID and teams running their own free-to-view, or their own pay-per-view streams, they should have some data. I thought it might have been better going down that route. You know, people aren't happy with the money. It's an extra 5 million. It's so many extra games. But let's be honest, they don't always show their games, do they?
It's up to 60 games, which is an important word. And it's not 60 games, it's up to.
Yeah, which is the annoying thing, because you just want to see the games, don't you? You know, and I think it's been compared to other leagues where they show every game. You know, I'd be happy to take a million less and show every game, to be honest, you know. And it just gives more chance for people to watch football. But I thought they would maybe have resurrected the old SPL TV idea. A lot of things seem to be moving to YouTube and streaming services. I think every club tried it during the COVID season. So they knew they had the capability. Yeah, but I suppose they know the numbers better than me, what was brought in for that COVID season. So maybe the Sky was the financially best for everybody.
If you're in the comments, please do tell us your thoughts on this deal. I think one of those leagues that you're probably talking about, Lawrence, is Norway, who have just got it in front of me here. Their new deal from 2023 to 2028 is worth £64.5 million per year, which is 118% more than the offer that was put forward. But the Premiership rights, and, you know, no disrespect to Norwegian football, we've seen teams like Molde come to Celtic Park and give us a doing, but just probably for the brand of Scottish football that you can sell, I still think from this new deal, it's being undersold, and the fact that it's not a guarantee a 60 games being shown, and much like you say, I think everybody would rather every game's there to be able to watch.
Yeah, you know, that's it, because let's be honest, the streams, they weren't the same quality as Sky, but they were watchable quality, weren't they? You know, it wouldn't have that quality wouldn't have stopped me buying SPL TV as it is. So just, listen, I'd probably save a fortune, because I'm buying Sky, BT, Premier, you know, and you're still not getting all the games. So okay. I just thought it would have been something that would have been better for them. But, you know, they've obviously decided to go with Sky. The money doesn't look great, especially, you know, when you look to, obviously, Norway, get more money, but down south gets a lot more money. Yeah, it's not very imaginative, the deal, is it? You know, and I thought the coverage was better on BT Sports as well. I don't think the Sky coverage is particularly, you know, from a Celtic point of view, I don't think it's particularly good.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were disappointed when BT didn't get the deal at the time. I think that's certainly something we miss. It's something that Chris Sutton told me in an interview that he did miss. You know, he still does the Scottish football extra thing with Daryl Curry, but I think even, you know, people like that do miss coming up here for Motherwell versus Celtic or whatever. So there's a miss even from the pundit side of things. But I think when you look at it overall, Lawrence, it is, as you say, it's not anything out the box that we've been in. It's nothing new. It's back to just kind of what we've been used to, and the coverage at times is very, very poor. I think a lot of people will say that. And another thing I picked out of it, I thought that was quite funny to be included in it. From 2024, another 2 years away, 5 games from each ground, one more than the current deal, as if that was some sort of, you know, a big tick. What was your thoughts on that one too?
Well, you're wondering what they're trying to restrict, you know, on the 5 games, especially clubs just now limiting, on top kind of Celtic, limiting the number of away fans. A lot of the clubs are saying, well, we're not going to give you 2 stands or whatever. We're going to limit it. So what's the idea of only 5 games? Because I'm assuming it's, you know, going to be, the majority of those games are going to be not at Celtic Park. You know, there's 11 other teams in the league, so you'd imagine Celtic will appear in a lot of them. So I don't know why they'd delay the uptake of it, especially as less Celtic fans are going to get in to away grounds now. So not only are we getting less fans into the ground, we're going to wait a few years before you can watch an extra game.
One extra game, which it's quite incredible. I don't really know why that's kind of put down as a highlight in the description.
Well, it fits with this top 6, doesn't it? you know, it fits for the top six, doesn't it? It means that you could watch, in theory, you could watch Celtic, you know, every away game against the top six.
Yeah, well, probably. Here's one to throw to you, Lawrence, from Daniel in the comments. Why did you think they were so keen to get the deal done? Do you think this was just Sky trying to pull their muscle power and just get something down so that they've got that cast iron guarantee, and this was maybe a good time to do it?
Listen, I think both parties maybe looking at the fiscal outlook just now, you know, pounds crashing, recession on the horizon, you know, maybe the SPFL were going, you know what, just get what money we can just now, and you know, maybe in a few months' time there won't be as much on offer. I suppose it's like Sky or BT they're going to, isn't it? They don't have a lot of options other than doing something themselves. So maybe they thought, you know, it's a 5 million increase in an economy that's heading into the recession. Yeah, let's grab it. And listen, it goes to the member clubs to vote on, doesn't it? So
that's it, yeah. That's something that's came in here from Pat in the comments. Pat Dolan coming in the comments to say that he said he's a bit concerned that he thinks that Celtic potentially weren't a dissenting voice in this. But would you like to have seen maybe Celtic take a wee bit more of a lead on this? I know we've obviously experienced, what was it, Pass to Paradise, which I know didn't work all the time. But would you like to see Celtic as maybe one of the clubs who would benefit more financially from pay-per-view games be one of the leaders on this?
So we don't know what happened within the discussions, but
no, we don't.
Certainly, so you don't know what Celtic's point was, but you know, win friends and influence people, go out and slag off the other clubs that you play against in the press. You know, there's a team that regularly does that, and I'm quite happy that Celtic don't do that with their commercial partners. What was said behind closed doors, we don't know. I hope Celtic were pushing for it and saying, like, pay-per-view's the way for us. Here's the figures we've got a worldwide audience. It's how much of that finance Celtic would be willing to share with other clubs, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know really how. We don't, obviously, as you say, Lawrence, we don't know what's been said behind closed doors. We certainly know Aberdeen's perspective on it. We certainly know Celtic's rivals' perspective on it. Additionally, in this deal, to note this one too, all top flight clubs will be able to sell pay-per-view games within the UK and Ireland of up to five league home games per season with immediate effect. That can come in whenever. Obviously, we had that game up in Dingwall in August time that Celtic fans weren't able to watch legally. It wasn't on anywhere unless you lived outside the UK and Ireland, which was this coming in imminently is subject to certain conditions, including no matches during blocked hours. Is five enough?
So what games do they think they've got a pay-per-view audience for? Let's be honest. So if they can sell five pay-per-view and five other games, that's 10. So what games do clubs have an audience for? Yeah, I'd say Celtic would have more than enough audience for 10 home games. What other clubs would have the audience for that? And I'm not too sure. So maybe that's how it went. Obviously, Sky would go, well, they wouldn't want every game. So they want to limit it. But in theory, you know, if they're only taking five of Celtic's home games, it leaves a lot, you know, a lot more than five that Celtic could have broadcast. You know, and if Sky don't want them, why would you stop Celtic from making money? So I don't think it's enough. I think they should have said, look, if we're only taking five, you just can do what you want with the balance.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, from a Celtic perspective, we already know that two of those five games are going to be derby games, and then the rest is probably maybe your flag opening day, the game that you lift the title at the end of the season, and then maybe a midweek game. I know the game against Hearts last December was covered.
Boxing Day or something.
Scored.
Yeah, around Christmas or something. Yeah, maybe get a game or something.
Which it tends to be. So, you know, I think there's disappointment in that too, that, as you say, probably five and five isn't a great balance in the whole biggest picture of it all.
Well, they might be going, well, we'd all want to take, you know, from the other side, or Celtic fans might watch them if their game's not on TV. Well, so you could even go, well, that's five and five, you know, because it's home and away, isn't it? You go, well, there's still games left over. You can say, well, why don't you make it 5 and 10? That would still leave, you know, 3 weekends to be off. Just like, yeah, they could have done a lot more. I'm not too sure about the blocked hours either. It's just...
Yeah, let's bring that up. Kevin Graham says the blocked hours show needs to go. It's old and out of date. I totally agree with Kevin. in that one. I think we need to move on from that. I think that's in regards to if a Champions League game's on or something, you can't show the game live. I just think it's a bit... It's a bit daft. I'm sure. I think EFL clubs, even like during the COVID season, get kind of dispensation to go and do that. Do you agree with that, Lawrence, that that's out of date and that needs to go?
Yeah, I mean, just because it's blocked, it doesn't mean I'm going to watch a game that's on TV. You know, they're not showing the Celtic game, but there's Dortmund versus somebody. I'm not going to watch Dortmund versus something because they're not showing the Celtic game. I don't know how big an audience they're gaining from blocking that, you know, for whatever game has been shown live. I think it'd be very small. And let's be honest, even on audience, you've normally subscribed to these things anyway. They've already got the money, haven't they?
Yeah, that's it. And as Kevin says here, he says the sound of this is that they can't show games between 3 and 5 on a Saturday, and if a game is on Sky, it can't be pay-per-view, which is pretty clear to be. So that would then... tune into that Ross County game that I mentioned only a couple of minutes ago, Lawrence, which is a Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff in Dingwall. That at this point in time, even though that was there, that clubs can now show pay-per-view games due to that block towers, that game still wouldn't have been shown live on pay-per-view. So Celtic fans would have still had no way of accessing the game, or Ross County fans that may want to watch it with their own. I don't know how big a spread of Staggies fans there is around the world, Lawrence, but I'm sure there would be some that would maybe want to watch the game. And even still, with that added extra of the 5 pay-per-view games, they still wouldn't be able to show it live through the block towers.
Honestly, I don't know what it achieves. What does it achieve? Do you think we're going to go and attend a different game? Because it's 3 o'clock on a Saturday, Celtic are late, didn't get a ticket, can't go and watch it. Do you know what? I'm going to go and watch Partick Thistle. I just don't think it happens. Don't know what it's there to achieve.
No, absolutely. Pat said here that EFL is not top tier, so they can play and show games during the UEFA blackout period, which is just, I find it mind-boggling that that's still the situation that we're in. Please, if you're in the comments, let us know what your experiences have been of maybe pay-per-view games. I know I certainly bought a couple of them during the COVID season. I think it was Ross County and Hibs were certainly two of them. I think St Mun was another one that we bought at the time. But it's just, I think from that, Lawrence, there's still a frustration there because, as I say about that Ross County game, and I think it's the one to use and keep going back to because it was so fresh and it was only nearly just 2 months ago, that even with this additional 5 pay-per-view games, that game still wouldn't have been shown, meaning that it would have been likely to have been moved back to a 12:30 game, which, again, there has to be a balance here between fans and people watching the game, doesn't there?
Yeah, definitely. Well, 12:30, it's all right if you're not having to travel up to Ross County, isn't it? And I know they travel more than everyone else, but, it's kick-off times to suit TV. And yeah, I think Kev's right. They should just do away with the prescribed hours things. I'm not too sure what they think they're achieving with it, because I don't think it achieves anything. I don't think people go and attend other games or watch other games because they can't watch their team. Yeah. It's just nuts, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I find it just nuts. Roscoe here in the comments saying that he travelled up to Dingwall on the off chance that he would get a ticket and he was then unable to watch the game at all in a pub as it wasn't able to be streamed anywhere on pay-per-view, and of course it wasn't on Sky. So that's that one on Ross County. There's a very small ray of light in this deal, Lawrence. It is the coverage of women's football in Scotland, which I think's something that's pretty welcome. That's what Ryan Kelly's saying in here in the comments, to say that the fact that the Women's League up here is going to start getting coverage from Sky is the only slight positive in the TV deal. I would agree with that. I see that Sky's going to sponsor the Cup too, but I think it's good also that it's going to be running in conjunction with BBC. It means more money going into the game, which is what it needs at this point in time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're not showing a lot of the games. They could have shown more. I know down south of the border, women's football gets more coverage. But then again, we could say that about men's football as well.
Yeah, well, if you win the Premier League, the Women's Premier League in England, it's more money presently than the SPFL Premiership at this point in time, just to give you an idea of the money and the difference there.
Yes. Just find it bizarre, but no, listen.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox Internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
It's slightly more than a token gesture. You know, how could they defend not showing it in today's climate? I don't know. I'm sure Natasha will have plenty to say on it, or should I say the recently nominated Natasha for the Watch a Dozen Women's Football. I'm sure people will be voting for her in the Football Pod Awards. But yeah, listen, it's good that they're bringing it in. It's good that Celtic women are undefeated so far in the season. But, and it's good that there's some more money into the game.
Six.
Yeah, hopefully Celtic do a wee bit more to promote it. Because I'm not too sure that I think the promotion of seems to have fallen at Celtic. I'm not too sure why.
Yeah, there was certainly a big push for that. I think last season, especially if I think back to when the team played at Celtic Park, they were really, really pushing it. But yeah, you know, I think you still get. I certainly got one this morning through from Celtic, an email detailing Celtic's victory at the weekend. But there maybe isn't as big a push. But I think this is something that's pretty welcome. Certainly, Natasha seemed quite happy with it. And our Axon chat that, you know, that has been announced. And hopefully it's the kind of start of a positive relation going forward. You do need to start somewhere, and hopefully for the women's side of things, this is a good starting step to go forward with it.
Yeah, you know, hopefully they get the audiences. I know we covered a few games during the COVID season, during lockdown. But, you know, it was great fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So... it's somewhere that it needs to start. As I say, that it's still going to be in conjunction with the BBC. It is not a replacement. If we do get Natasha on, I'm sure she'll talk to us a wee bit more about it at that point in time. We'll maybe return to the TV deals. I know probably people don't want to us to keep banging on about pay-per-views and Sky Sports deals, but it is there. It's important because I think when you look at the overall picture, Lawrence, obviously we saw Celtic's financial books last week. And you see how much there's still Celtic, how much reliance there is on the match day. Absolutely no reliance on the money coming in terms of broadcasting.
Yeah.
From the league, that is. Obviously, the Champions League is going to look a lot different next year, and that's going to go a long way into the pot. But at this point in time, you know, as an SPFL Premiership club, there's absolutely no reliance, I think, from a Celtic perspective. And the TV deal, though, it's all about the match day revenue, which I think makes up 47% of Celtic's total income.
I think it's the same for most clubs in Scotland. It's match day revenue, isn't it? And obviously, there's a 20 is plenty campaign, but how do you balance that when that's your main income stream? You know, it's match day revenue. Do you look elsewhere? You know, a better TV, they were running your own TV. Maybe this is a bit of a halfway house. You know, they get to run it in a non-COVID season for a while. You know, broadcasting some of their games will give them maybe better data to decide next time a deal's up. Do we want to take the plunge and just go all out for ourselves and run our own stuff? You know, I'm surprised they didn't maybe go to Amazon or Netflix or something, try and tie a deal up with them.
Supposedly, a couple of years ago, that there was interest from Amazon in it. Obviously, we know that Amazon have covered Premier League games and they've got the scope to do that a couple of times a season. So even that would be something maybe to explore, but I don't know if there is going to be any flexibility with stuff like that. What a pay-per-view means that you could approach somebody like Amazon to show it, or you would do it off your own back, you know, with like Sunset Vine, as we've seen during the COVID times.
Mate, if they could do it as part of the Prime membership as well, send me some cash, would be great. But listen, enough of the TV deal. Great for women's football, you know, six in a row, you know. Up there at the top, I think three teams have won all six. Jacinta, Prima, Deneva, Galabadarice continues our scoring streak.
How often have you been practicing that, by the way? Because that was phenomenal. That was absolutely phenomenal.
That goes back to covering the games.
Yeah, well, good man. And I see that she was front, right and centre in the TV deal graphic, which I thought was really good to see too, in terms of the promotion of it. So Listen, as I say, in terms of the women's football with the Sky deal, I think it's a good positive step in the right direction. Hopefully that can continue to grow, and it will show, even with a bad TV deal, that the level of football up here, both at women's and men's level, is decent and has been undersold dramatically. And with both as a product, hopefully it'll push it on to be even worth more money in years to come. But it is at this point in time, what we see, it's extended, and you know, there's nothing as fans, I think, at this point in time that we could really do about it. But we'll move to the team, we'll move to the current Celtic team. As our tagline says, as injuries mount up, can Celtic get through 13 games in 43 days unscathed? I've got my Scotland top on for tonight. I don't know who in the hell Steve Clark's going to play, because the whole team seems to be injured or fallen to a bug. And in terms of, from a Celtic perspective, Lawrence, some good results for some of the lads away in international duty. Croatia, Juranovic has had great results. The Scotland lads, obviously, great results. But looking at the overall picture of this, there's a hell of a lot possibly coming back with an injury, which is a bit of a concern, getting into such a big block of games, and the fact that we're going to be Champions League in just around about a week.
Listen, that's the main thing that's kind of worried me, is the injuries. You know, when I saw Fabrizio Romano saying, oh, Jason Denier's on the move on Twitter, I was straight in, I was thinking, have you picked him up on a free? But no, rumoured to be going to the UAE. Yeah.
Okay,
shame, because it's one position, you know, you've got two injuries. Obviously, the last game we played, I think that had a big impact on the result. It's maybe somewhere we could do with some cover, but, you know, there's a few centre-backs floating about in the free, but Denier's already been here. I suppose it's an easier link to make, isn't it? But unfortunately not to happen.
Yeah, all the best to him. It was a bit of a strange one, that, because he seemed to be doing pretty well in France at Lyon, but yeah, let go, not picked up. I don't know if maybe Celtic just wouldn't touch him on his wages. We don't want to maybe go to players that have been at the club before. But listen, I thought it was a good player when he was at Celtic under Ronnie Dyla. Obviously, the great partnership with Virgil van Dijk, and he's been in and about that Belgium squad quite often. But all the best to him as he goes.
Suppose it's easy to have a great partnership with Virgil van Dijk, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
When he was in, wasn't it?
I think I would have a great partnership with Virgil van Dijk, even though I can't kick my backside.
Yeah, could have given that start, couldn't you?
Yeah, I think I'd be well covered. I think that maybe probably goes for Andy Robertson too, anytime that I've watched him playing for Scotland compared to playing for Liverpool. But while we're talking about Scotland, Lauren, let's talk about it. It's been two wins so far. They've beaten Ukraine, they've beaten the Republic of Ireland, but we saw David Turnbull have to drop out the squad. Tony Nelson and Greg Taylor came in at the weekend. I thought the two of them played very, very well. But news has come out today that it looks as if Greg Taylor has now fallen ill due to this virus outbreak. I don't know if it's anything to do with Tom Kitchen. There was a good few of them out for their dinner. I know that Lyndon Dykes and Shadams were the first two to come down with it, but hopefully not too much a concern with Greg Taylor, and hopefully he is back for the weekend. But you might just need to sit out of this one.
Yeah, mate, a number one defender. It's we need him back. We need him fit. You know, at New St. Mirren Park, he was the only first choice out the back four, wasn't he? So, yeah, it's a worry when we're picking it up. You know, Bernabeu's still untested for us, isn't he? You know, we don't really know what he gives us. So, I suppose left back's where we've got least cover just now. Because we just don't know what Bernabeu is going to give us. We hope that Starfelt and Cameron Carter-Vickers should be fit, fingers crossed. But Greg Taylor getting is someone we can't afford. Look at the form he's been in, mate. He's been absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's been terrific. He's been one of the standout players this season. Somebody's coming in the comments that apparently Taylor trained. Hopefully he did, because he's a big player for Scotland tonight and for Celtic at the weekend. And hopefully if he does play tonight, he comes through that, but with no injury. But he has been absolutely outstanding, Lawrence, absolutely. And, you know, once again, testament to Tony Ralston. He's not played a lot of football for Celtic this season, but he came in and he fitted in absolutely perfectly for Scotland after Hickey's injury.
Yeah.
And Patterson's injury, should I say, both.
Yeah, Tony had to wait his chance to get in that team, didn't he? Or even in the squad. But, yeah, he's just not. just a workhorse, isn't he? Just gives it 100% all the time. So, listen, he's just kind of carrying on from last season, isn't he? We'll probably need him at some point with the amount of games we've got coming up. He'll probably get some game time. But, yeah, he'll be pleased to get some minutes for Scotland again.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that kind of adds in well for a guy like him to get those minutes under his belt. I think the same goes for Aaron Moyan, where he's been sent back early, but he played 90 minutes for Australia in their friendly win over New Zealand. Comment coming in here, what's the news in CCV? The news, I think, was most recently up to date with Cameron Carter-Vickers is that the injury was minor, which is what the US coach described it as. Obviously, he didn't go to Germany with the squad. He's been here. I would be hoping, Lawrence, if it is minor, he is back for the weekend, because I thought it was a big, big miss. It's at Mun Park, and I know it was something that I placed an emphasis on with Natasha last week, that he's almost the spine of our team. I know usually people would talk about a spine running through the middle, but he is the backbone of our team, and we really do need him. And especially looking towards next Wednesday evening in Leipzig, we'd be hoping that Vickers is back for that game at least.
Yeah, there was like a muscle tear, two or three weeks out. So you'd be expecting him to come back. You know, against St Mirren, both goals came from where you'd expect him to be in the park, you know, from that kind of area. So huge miss for us, and we're definitely going to need him away. These games against Leipzig, I think we need to take 6 points from it. You know, four might be enough, but, you know, I think 9 points would be set to qualifying. Where's your 9 points coming from?
You know, yeah, I think that's going to be the way that folk will look at it. We're hoping that those two home games against Shakhtar and Leipzig will be 6-pointers for Celtic. You don't have any guarantees in the Champions League. Both will be very tough games. I know there's been a lot of change at Leipzig since Tedesco was sacked. Obviously, Marco Rose has come in. They had that fantastic result against Borussia Dortmund, which is not too long followed up by a defeat by Borussia Mönchengladbach, who I know David Slight was very happy about that one. And they were unlucky in the Santiago Bernabeu. They came very, very close to opening the scoring over there, and they held Madrid out to 80 minutes. But yeah, I think now, when you look at this next batch of fixtures, Lawrence, we've got a lot coming up in terms of domestically. We've got the league, obviously. We've got that quarter-final tie at Fir Park against Motherwell. But ultimately, that this next batch of fixtures will give us a flavour, and we'll decide what our European outcome is going to be after Christmas. So it's going to be really, really important in these Champions League games that we see the good performances for that spell against Real Madrid, for majority of the game against Shakhtar, turned into results and goals.
Yeah, well, you can't continue to miss the amount of chances we have in the Champions League. If we're looking at 9 points, you win your two home games, that puts you on 7. You know, two to get from two games, you know, away to Real Madrid or away to Leipzig. Where do you think you're likely to pick up points? You know, and I think more likely to pick up against Leipzig than Real.
Yeah, well, that goes in, shouldn't be part, and I totally agree with him on that one, that he thinks we need to take 6 points at home, absolutely. And if we can take a point in the road against Leipzig, I think that'd be much needed, because I don't see us, as much as I'm looking forward to hopefully going to the Santiago Bernabeu in November, it's not one that I think anybody likely expects Celtic to get anything from. I think we're all hoping that by that time Madrid will have qualified, topped the group, whatever, and maybe rest a few players. But I think there'd be a lot more of a confidence if you pick up that point in the road to Leipzig, because ultimately when the draw happened, Lawrence, you're looking at these two teams thinking we do need to get something off them. Disappointing not to get the 3 points in Warsaw against Shakhtar. That's when the attention then turned to this game against Leipzig. I think it's a game we just can't afford to lose.
Listen, you look at the group, Real would have said after two games we'll be in 6 points. They are. Leipzig would have said, we'll probably beat Shakhtar and beat Real, maybe sneak a draw, we'll try for the draw, but we'll have at least 3 points. Nope, not fun for them, mate.
Nope.
Shakhtar's probably looked at it and thought, we'll have a go at Celtic at home, we'll maybe take 3 there. But they're in 4 now, and for ourselves we thought, yeah, Shakhtar on the road, that would put us on 3. And, you know, we're on 1, so I think, you know, Real Madrid are where they thought they'd be, and Shakhtar are ahead. I think ourselves and Leipzig are playing catch-up
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all, every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
And where we would expect to be after two games. Huge games for us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Huge games for us. I think you'd have a lot more. You'd be a bit more relaxed if you'd have taken all 3 points and more so. But we got the point, which I think was important. I think it's, if you look at these two teams, Leipzig and Shakhtar, as long as you're not giving up a win to one of them, I think you're in a pretty good position. If you can take 4 points on both teams and ultimately finish in anywhere near, 9 points, you'll be delighted, which is what Celtic finished on last season in the Europa League. So it's one that we're going to look at. We've obviously got that game against St Johnstone wedged in between those games against Leipzig. I know I'm jumping ahead a wee bit about games here, Lawrence, but I just think looking at that game, what we've possibly seen at St Mirren, I think there could be potential to see that against St Johnstone changes, because it's going to be wedged in between fixtures, and I think there's going to be more of an emphasis probably in that home game coming back after the away tie against Leipzig. And, we will at St Johnstone, but it's about people stepping up for that game at St Johnstone, unlike the performance at St Mirren.
I think it's going to be, assess the fitness. There'll be one eye on Leipzig, but who's going to be fit to play against them in defence? You'd want them to get another game under their belt, wouldn't you? It's just making sure they've got that understanding at top level. But,
and we know that Ange doesn't like to change that too often. He likes to keep his defenders majority of the time.
Yeah. Definitely, and I suppose some part was unusual. You changed three out of four, and I'd say you paid the price. But geez, with a lot of the ball and not a lot of shots on target, so yeah, you just put that down as a bad day at the office. You want to get straight back on it. It's first defeat in 38 games in a league season. So yeah, straight back to it. Another 3 points and get the momentum back again.
Yeah, I think we want that momentum back again. It's been a bit of a strange period for Celtic, with fixture postponements and obviously the international break coming. I think we'd have wanted that game right after the Madrid game at home to Livingston to kind of dust the cobwebs off us. We didn't get that chance. It then meant our next game was the Champions League. We've walked away, a points great any time, I think, in the Champions League, but we walked away from it thinking we should have won the game, and we have that really disappointing result at St Mirren. So I think you're wanting to see us press that restart button and really put in a good performance and get the result against Motherwell at the weekend, and then kick home from there, which is going to Germany and hopefully taking something out of the match.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose, certainly in the season, you want to pick up the three against Motherwell, but I think all eyes are on Champions League just now. These next two games against Leipzig are going to decide whether we've got a chance to come through. If you win both, you'd be pretty confident going through then, wouldn't you? Because you're going to look at the other one, you'd think Shakhtar will lose both against Real. They'll be sitting at four. We'd be in seven. Two games to go. We've got them at home. If I can take a draw off them at home, and it should be enough to see us through. Yeah, can't come quick enough for us to get back into the Champions League. Although, I was jumping a wee bit ahead. But, it's where you want to be at the top levels. And it's where Ange wants to be. You see that in his comments. He's happy where he is. That's the level he wants to perform at. As disappointing as those two results must have been for him as a coach. Because we're creating enough chances as a team. You can only set up a style and tactics to create the chances. It's up to players when they get the opportunity to put it away.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's a really good point, that there's been a lot in his chat. I think a lot of people say that if you do listen to Ange in press conferences, he tells you all about where we're at, all about where he sees the plans for Celtic in the future. And he plays that emphasis on Celtic being a Champions League team that can be there regularly and compete at that level. I just want to touch back on something you said there, Lawrence. You said that all eyes will we'll be in the Champions League. But to turn back to one of our commenters, B, who's came in to say that we can't take our eyes off the league this winter. Still the priority this season as we go into the Champions League again. Even though you've got that emphasis there on Champions League, it's going to need to be a balance because it's a big block of fixtures. There's plenty of league games to go, but we've still got that cushion at the top. We've got a massive goal difference, but it is still going to be the priority because of how important it is to win the league to get back into the Champions League next season and they have that income once again.
Look, listen, I suppose I don't think it's a priority over Champions League games. You've got two things that you need to do. Maybe Ange just looks like you just need to win every game you play. You just need to go and play an attacking style of football and take your chances. But I wouldn't, put out a weakened team for a Champions League game just because we've got a big league game coming up. I wouldn't make it that much a priority, but you need to look after it at home. But that's why we've got a big squad. Fair enough, they didn't do it against St. Mirren, but I think that was just an off day. We've got players in that squad that should be able to come in, against SPL opposition and do the business.
Yeah, absolutely, which is something that I think Peter Grant said in some of his comments about it, that it was something that me and Natasha looked at last week where I was asking her and we were both kind of looking at it from the perspective of, it was 9 changes in Dingwall, more changes than we'd made going to St Mirren Park. Yeah, it was in the League Cup. And Ross County may play a bit of a different style to St Mirren, but there was enough that night and it was the same centre-half pair and it was the same midfield, the same wingers. So where was the difference? Which is how you look at it. So I think at this point in time, even though the St Mirren defeat was disappointing, I don't think we can look at it as something that sums up our squad at this point in time. The squad's still very, very strong and it's still going to need to be used in this next batch of games, especially if guys are going to come back injured.
Yeah. Would you look at the free agents they had to outside of Denier? Maybe Edgar Lee, or he's free, Portuguese centre-half.
I don't think it's going to be something that Celtic probably look at. I think Ange's pretty content with what he's got there. Just to bring Frank in the comments here, he's saying that 13 games in 43 days is a huge and punishing schedule, with 3 of them in the Champions League. It's 4 in the Champions League there, and these will determine our European journey for this season. And Motherwell and Leipzig are now must-win games. Lawrence, would you agree with that? I don't think the game away to Leipzig is a must-win for me. I'm quite happy if we take a point over there. Certainly need to win at the weekend against Motherwell. But as I say, I'm quite happy if they can take 4 points off both Shakhtar and Leipzig with a point in front of that. With Shakhtar, we need to beat them at Celtic Park, and in the same case needs to be with Leipzig. But I think looking at it overall, what's your take on that? Do you think that the St Mirren game can show that the squad's not up to where it maybe should be at this point in time, or do you still have a trust that there is enough there? I certainly think there's still a trust that there is enough there, and that some players will know that their performances at St Mirren just weren't acceptable.
I think there's definitely enough there to get results at St Mirren. It didn't happen, first lost 38 games. Wouldn't put Motherwell down as must win, still September, it will be in October. It's, there's a long way to go in the league. Whereas in the Champions League, there's not that many games to get your points left in. And I would say, it's obvious we're going to be in a much better position if we win the 2 Leipzig games rather than draw one and win one and take 4 points. But I would say the Leipzig games, there's less games to get points in that Champions League left than there is in the league. It's harder to get points. I think they're going to need a harder performance. So, if anything's a priority, I would say definitely Leipzig over Motherwell. Yeah, just now, if someone said to me, you can lose to Motherwell but get 6 points against Leipzig, I'd bite your hand off it.
Well, I'm going for, I think Ange Postecoglou will be looking at winning both games. I said they're about to beat Motherwell at the weekend and then take points against Leipzig. John Hills came in here to say that he believes our squad should be okay, even if the injuries as we called Tokyo last season. Yeah, but it's been a complete turnaround from the position that we were in, Lawrence. We, hardly having anybody to so many choices. Now, Gary Melrose has came in the comments to say he believes there was 2 key mistakes against St Mirren, that we dropped all of our creative midfield, we dropped all of our creativity, and we allowed them to take the lead. Even 2 would have been dealt with if we had some creativity. But what's your take on that, Lawrence? I think that was something that maybe people will look at now, and maybe probably the manager will look at it, as especially the midfield. Callum McGregor is a big important player for Celtic, but I think people were disappointed in the performance that we got out of Aaron Moy and Turnbull, and I don't think that'll be a midfield three that you'll probably see again. I think people like to see either a Rio Hitati or a Matt O'Reilly in there.
Yeah. Well, listen, I don't know how creative you're looking for Aaron Moy to be a defensive midfield. Tain is long enough to get a shot target. You know, I think the first half an hour in with 81% possession, not a shot target. I don't know if any of that was down to Moy. Turnbull's played a bit further forward. You'd maybe expect him to get a few in target. It didn't work, but, you know, St. Mirren set themselves up well. They exploited a weakness. You know, both goals came from where you'd expect Cameron Carter-Vickers to be, that right centre-half position. You know, one looks offside, maybe a foul, but yeah, I wouldn't have been too heavy on Moy for that. Would you expect to see the midfield that often? I think McGregor's definitely going to play the most games, and then maybe Moy second. I don't think you'll expect to see, if Turnbull performs like that, I don't think he's going to put himself ahead of O'Reilly or Hitati.
No, absolutely. And he's not going to be, I don't think, playing this weekend. He's obviously had to withdraw from the Scotland squad. He might be on the bench, but yeah, it's an interesting one because David Turnbull was used so much, obviously, last season, Lawrence, up until he got that injury. He played the most minutes under Ange.
We were threadbare, you know, a lot of that was kind of forced. You know, last season, although we got through it with injuries, we were kind of limping to the Christmas transfer window when we got a lot of really good reinforcements in. But at that point, we didn't have a huge squad. You know, it was complete transition. Although we picked up an injury, there is an argument to say that the players Ange was bringing in, would they have continued to get as many minutes? I'm not so sure he would have done.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting one. John Hill coming in here to say that he believes the St Mirren game is a blip. If Celtic had scored first, it would have been a different game, a different change of plan for St Mirren. Lawrence, let's come to this one from Frank in the comments. He says that we have a so-called big squad, but he believes it has been bullied out of it by St Mirren, proves it's nowhere near good enough in overall quality, particularly in Europe. What's your take on that? I'm not going to judge the Celtic squad after that performance. I think there needs to be a better look at it than just that. What I've seen is an off day for us at St Mirren Park. And I still think the squad's going to play a big part, especially in this next 43 days.
Listen, first loss in 38 games. I don't think we're a team that gets bullied easily in general. You know, there's enough heavy tackles allowed against us in Scotland. If that was the case, we'd have lost a lot more games. Did St Mirren bullies? I think they're particularly bullies. I think they set up well. They got their noses in front and they kept their shape well. We lacked creativity at the time. I don't think that was down to getting bullied. It was just an off day. As much as it pains me, we're not going to win it every game in the league, unfortunately. Well, certainly not now after being beat St Mirren. But, you know, there's no prizes given out at this point, as Ange reminded us last season, when it was a much worse front that we'd been on. So, all in all, you know, St Mirren just move on from it. Bad day at the office. There was a lot of changes that were forced on us. I don't think you'll see as many changes before. Certainly at the back, I don't think you'll see that kind of back four again.
No, I don't think you'll see him make three changes in defence. Let's bring in some comments in this one. JJ Celtic says that he doesn't think that the bench is as strong as we think it is. Personally, I would say I disagree with that. Urban Culture, usual Tuesday commenters came in to say that top clubs always struggle after Europe, but a perspective needed. There was other teams apart from Celtic who had off days that particular weekend too, so a bit of a trend there. And Robert Little's come in to say that he believes that the bottom line was that Ange thought the team was good enough to beat St Mirren, but the attitude was wrong. We've tuned in with another Tuesday commenter, usually Celtic, which is Strange Love the Doctor. Celtic just didn't move the ball quick enough against St Mirren. Two touch passes and move football will destroy every other team in this league. We failed to play the Ange way. I think a lot of the players, Lawrence, would have known that their performances just weren't good enough, and it's a good probably point to get that learning curve, because going into this amount of games in such a short space of time, it's a game every 3 days, you know, a game like that you wouldn't like to have as a setback. And at this point in time, even though players will have been stewing in this now for, you know, 2 weeks before they play Motherwell, it's a chance to press the restart button and know that they need to be better than that performance at St Mirren.
Listen, it's definitely a wake-up call for them, isn't it? You know, if I see some commentators were describing them as arrogant, and I don't think they were, but, you know, if it was creeping in, a 2-0 reverse to St Mirren's going to kind of bust up, wasn't it? But as we move on, it's, you know, St Mirren set up well. They got up front and they kind of flat for defence, are fairly robust in their challenges. It's the first loss in 38 games in the week. You just move on from it and get back to doing what we do, playing the style of football with it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. A lot of people are actually giving St Mirren credit in the comments here, so that's where we are at this point in time. Just looking through the other injuries from the last 15 minutes, we've already touched on David Turnbull. Jackie Macca is back in training. We might see him feature tonight in the Nations League. So that would be a good sign if he is back. I think, you know, we're wanting to have two available fit strikers getting into this. Kyogo's starting for Japan. That game will be 20 minutes in. If anybody's watching it, could they give us a wee update on it? Hatate was on the bench, I think, for Japan after being left out against the USA, and Maeda, I don't think, is anywhere to be seen. He never trained for Japan. So if anybody's watching a Japan game at this point in time or have it on in the background, could they give us a wee update with what's happening in that game? Abada also subbed off at the weekend. Lawrence, I think, with about 15 minutes to go. Aaron Moyes returned back early from Australia. He was obviously named in the team of the century for Australia, so well done to him. And we've touched on Greg Taylor, so I think, yeah, Juranovic rested for Croatia. He'll be back unscathed, so we know he's fine. Michael's came in to ask, do we give McGregor a rest at the weekend ahead of the Leipzig game? Callum McGregor joked yesterday, Lawrence, that he said, I always play 70 games a season, as if it's not an issue to him. He's only playing the Celtic squad at this point in time to have played every single game so far this season. I'm firmly in belief that you play your captain if he's fit and available. But what's your take on that one?
I think Callum can handle the games. Arguably, he made it cost his that goal away to Shakhtar. But yeah, I would rest him ahead of it. I think the team's trying to get back after a defeat. They've had a bit of rest, albeit some of them have been an international. I think you'd play the team that plays against Leipzig, just get them up to speed.
Yeah, absolutely. So play McGregor at the weekend, because I'm certainly, I think he'll start for Scotland tonight. And he's played very well for Scotland, I think, in the past few games.
No, definitely start, you know, the weekend I'd be starting the team that starts against Leipzig, you know, injuries permitting and fitness permitting.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I'd certainly be doing that too. And then maybe the St John's one, you can maybe see two or three changes to the team. Nothing like we maybe seen at St Mirren.
If you're two up at half time, you know, there's an argument of three up, you can go, you know what, if he needs a rest, take him off, get him the second half off. But
that tunes in very well with the five subs, which I think possibly people were looking at, especially in that St Mirren game, I saying, but why don't you just start your best team and then you can get minutes into these players, which is something that we can certainly use in a game like Motherwell, that if you are in a comfortable position with the five subs, players are going to get more game time into their legs, and hopefully there's a bit of a learning curve after that defeat away to St Mirren, and that if anybody does come in, that they're saying to the manager, listen, I'm a decent enough player, I want to play games, give me a chance again.
Yeah, it was just saying to the manager, I'm a decent enough player, I want to play games. Was that a Martin O'Neill thing at the weekend, and he was telling a story about Keno when he came up, and Martin was asking his time. And he was saying, oh, you know, when he got on, Strachan got the change, and then Celtic lost a goal, and it was like, oh, no, sit back down, and, you know, it happened again. Got up and get trained, Celtic lost another, we'll sit back down. And Keane's happy, go, you know, Gordon, I have played this game before. You know, you can trust me to go on. I may not played for Celtic before, but you can trust me to go on. So it's, well, the players should be able to come in and do a job. But, yeah, Ange uses the five sub rule really well. Maybe not it's a matter. I don't think it was the time your rest players going into an international break, because we didn't have a game coming up. So yeah. What are you resting them for? Could have maybe sub sooner, you know, and maybe made in the first half. Yeah, I think you were like 35 minutes in before you got shot on target. You know, you'd 80-odd% possession or something. Something was wrong, you know, when you ain't getting shots on target. But yeah, I think we used the five subs rules well, and it benefits us because, you know, we've got a greater depth in squad, I suppose, than anyone else in Scotland. Is the squad deep enough? I definitely, you know, if Denier, I'm surprised we didn't have a look at him or Edgar Lee, you know, but I think I said before, the ones I shot I'd like, you know, another centre half in, probably put Welsh out on loan, and I'd like another striker in. Max Ivanovic came in, can he play as a striker? Apparently, can play along the front three. You know, the glimpses we've seen of him, I thought he's kind of looked okay so far, but he's another one with an injury scare, isn't he?
Yeah, he came off last night, 32 minutes against Finland. They were defeated 2-0. So I think that's the update. Pat was asking in the comments who is in out the team for Saturday. Gigi trained for Greece yesterday. He may feature tonight for them. Kyogo started for Japan against Ecuador. As I say, if anybody's tuned into that or watching it, give us a wee update on how that's doing. Maeda, supposedly it was a thigh injury and he was sent back early. Abada picked up something, he was subbed off 77 minutes in the Nations League the other night, and Haksabanovic is another one who came off half an hour into the game, so maybe looking a wee bit light up front, so hopefully we can have enough there to pick a decent enough front three at the weekend. Obviously we've got Jota, who's had that nice rest at Lennox Town at this point in time, Lawrence, and we've got Kyogo there still, so it'll be interesting to see if Abada Maeda is out, what we maybe do.
Yeah, I suppose we saw it last season, and there was a spell when we were missing Kyogo and Giakoumakis. I generally think we're a wee bit light up top, we could have done with a third striker coming in. Maybe Ange sees that as, you know, Haksabanovic. But he could be injured too. Yeah, hopefully we've still got Brian Scott's oxygen chamber. You know, that Henrik used to like, if he can, you know, get them in and speed up any niggling injuries they've had and speed up the recovery. But we should have enough to win at the weekend. It's Leipzig, you know, you're going to need your best team in the road, aren't you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Totally agree with that one. Japan 0, Ecuador 0, 21 minutes in. I know Sean Ross is asking what channel's it on. I know that the other day I watched the game against the USA on the Japan FA YouTube page. I don't know if they're streaming this one. I would like to think if they did that the other day, it's in the same stadium, so they will be. So maybe check out the Japan FA YouTube page. There's a bit of chat about this young man in the comments. Lawrence, let's talk about him. Abogard, after the break, do you think we'll see him? A big lad. He was training in front of me at St Mirren Park, and certainly a big unit. We've certainly not brought him in just to be a bench warmer. I do think you'll see him feature. He's a player who's obviously had that bit of time at Kazan. He can still go back there and decide whether he wants to have his place there. But he's at Celtic just now, and I do think we will see him feature eventually. When do you think might be the right time to possibly see him? Maybe that game away to St Johnston?
Should be. Listen, mate, it's in the weekend. He's already in the matchday squad, so depending. You know, if you're three up, he's a guy you could easily put in. You know, he seems fairly highly rated. He's got a good pedigree. I suppose the number six, we tried at St Mirren playing Moy there and pushing Callum further forward. Did we move the ball quick enough? You know, was the transition quick enough? I'm not too sure. Would he make a better job than Moy? Maybe, you know, but you wouldn't want to be trying to away leaks out is his first meaningful minutes, would you? So no. I think we might see him at the weekend just to, because his fitness should be up. If he was lacking at all, should be up by now. So I think we might see him at the weekend just to, he'll give us an option for away leaks.
Yeah, just kind of looking forward to the weekend. I think obviously our fellow Axon contributors will be previewing it a bit more than we have in this show. Obviously we had that TV deal we talk about. We've had all the injuries there, was nearly flown in, Lawrence. What kind of team do you see Celtic playing against Motherwell? I think it'll be the strongest that we've got, but due to injuries, probably Joe Hart in goal, obviously, that one picks itself. I imagine Juranovic, if Taylor's okay, he will play. If not, obviously, you've got that option of Burnaby. I think there is a big hope that Vickers is back in. I don't know how far or close Carroll Starfelt is, but you've probably got a confidence if it's Vickers back in that Moritz Shane's will be absolutely fine beside him.
So, yeah, it depends how fit Vickers is, I suppose. You know, if he's fit straight, and if he's not 100%, there's a risk, you know, if it is a muscle tear, it might get aggravated. You might go, you know, give it an extra few days and don't bring him back into Leipzig. But I'd be happy with any three from Starfelt, Jens, and Cameron Carter-Vickers. I think starting, I think both Jens and Welsh need a solid partner against a bit more experience than I think Starfelt and Vickers are. That I think Vickers is definitely number one at centre half. You know, number two is up for grabs, but I think it's between Starfelt and Jens just now. Midfield, Callum starts for me. Yeah, I'd start Leo and O'Reilly. Yeah, leaving us up front, Jota. And then it's who's fit, who's fit enough to play.
Yeah, but I agree with Kevin. It is like an episode of Grey's Anatomy with the injury list that we've got at this point in time. Jamie Young asking about Maeda. Thigh injury is the latest report on him, and he was sent back. He never trained for Japan the other day, so yeah, bit of concern with that one. Just to say, I just had a wee quick look there. JFA TV on YouTube. Please do stay bills for the next 4 minutes, and do like and subscribe if you haven't already done so. It is live on JFA TV, so Kyogo's playing. If you do want to watch him,
so they've got back, they're showing their own games on YouTube, mate, which yes, we're not doing because of the Sky deal. You know, I suppose we come to the back, but no, if Japan could do it, surely we could do that on YouTube. Surely we can more than we get from the Cunt TV deal. I suppose that takes us back to the beginning, doesn't it?
So there it is. If you do want to watch that, it's over there in JFA TV. Yes, that's where we're at with the injury list in terms of defenders, Lawrence. I think you'll see Callum McGregor play as long as he comes through this game against Ukraine tonight unscathed. I think you'll see Real Hatate and Matt O'Reilly return at the midfield. I know Hatate's not played for Japan as of yet. He might come on later in this game. And you'd expect probably O'Reilly to come back in.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be midfield, and up front, you know, you'd expect Jota to start, and who's going to be fit for the other two positions? That's going to be
hopefully Kyogo's okay for this game, and he comes through this game against Ecuador unscathed. But there's one to throw back to you. If Haksabanovic, Abada, and Maeda are all out, who plays another wing? James Forrest?
If Giacomakis is fit, I'd shove Kyogo on the left, John on the right, and Giacomakis through the middle. If Giacomakis and Kyogo are both fit.
Well, that could be a potential one to maybe see for the first time. We know that Kyogo can play on the wing. Just to remind people that we are up for a football content award, so please do feel free to vote by clicking the link in the video description. I didn't want to say that there just in case it wasn't there, but it is there. Like while you're there, make sure to vote, make sure to subscribe, do all the stuff down the bottom of the video, and hopefully it's another award for Axiom. Just in terms of O'Reilly, Lawrence.
And Natasha's there to vote Natasha's in her own right as well.
And her own right for women's football coverage. We were hoping she would have joined us today. I'm sure she'll be back next week, but she is also there too. So please do give both Natasha and Celtic State of Mind your vote. We are in there in best video content, so to find us, and Natasha's up for best in women's football, just if you're navigating yourself through the page. Just in terms of O'Reilly, Lawrence, I'm not too sure if he actually played for Denmark under 21s there. They are down 2-1 in aggregate against Croatia. This is a playoff qualification for under 21s Euros, so you might have a bit of a tricky game tonight. So just to kind of confirm that with you, if all those players are out, you think Giacomakis and seeing what the two of them are like in a front three together?
Yeah, definitely. You know, Kyogo's played more on the left than he's played through the middle in his career, so I think he'd handle playing as a winger. And you remember that game against Ibrox, we put one in a plate for Hudson Edouard to, I think it was
1 foot out the door.
He was here in body but not in spirit, was he? You know, his mind had definitely left the building, you know. Him and Form would have put that away. So I thought he, you know, he looked better than Odson when he moved through the middle in that game, but I don't think he disgraced his sell in the win, so I think he can definitely do it. It'd be interesting to see how him and Yankee Marcus got on in the same part together.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I think it's something that we'd all probably like to see, and I know that it's very likely that many Celtic fans probably would rather see that as an option, but you know, I do expect in this run of games that James Forrest probably will get game time at some point, but I would much rather see Giakoumakis and Kyogo come into the team together, because I think that'd be quite an interesting one to see how it goes. Thanks to everybody for joining us today. I know it can be a bit difficult when there's no Celtic, but hopefully we've ran through that enough to give you a wee perspective on where we are at this point in time. Fingers crossed, no more injuries tonight for Celtic players. They will all return fit for the weekend, and we can get back to hopefully winning ways against Motherwell at the weekend. Please do like, subscribe, make sure to vote for Axum if you haven't already done so. Lawrence, thanks as always for joining me on this Tuesday afternoon on Axum.
Message and data rates may apply. Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head, comb it over, wear a hat? Just stop. This isn't 1970. Keep your hair and your confidence, because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration experts, can give you your real hair back permanently. Check them out today, because they're giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to anyone that texts EASY to 203203. Dude, you don't have to look like your dad, because this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're ahead of the curve. They use the latest technology to give you your real hair back. And the best part? Bosley's permanent solution is protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Let Bosley show you for free how awesome your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off. Text EASY to 203203. That's BASY to 203203.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet, but if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for.
Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
At Discount Tire, we know your time is valuable. Get 30% shorter average wait time when you buy and book online. Did you know Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Check out our current deals at DiscountTire.com or stop in and talk to an associate today. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.
Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.